So good morning. Let's begin. We left off yesterday a little bit on Mem Amud Beis. So if you remember again, just to reorient ourselves, Rav Yitzchak Barabdini went into the bathhouse with Rebbe on Shabbos, and Rav Yitzchak Barabdini wanted to go ahead and put his jug of oil into the bathtub in the Merchatz in order to go ahead and warm it up. And Rebbe told him, take it in a klisheni. Fill up a cup of water from the bath. Don't immerse the oil directly into the bathtub, but go ahead and heat it up in a klisheni. So the Gemara says, we learned three things from that situation. Number one, that shemen is subject to bishul. Okay, that was machlokes to say, now we see from there that it is. Number two, klisheni doesn't cook. And number three, just simply taking off the chill, warming it up even below yad so ledesbo, is considered to be bishul. So now, by oil. So the Gemara says like this, how was Rebbe able to go ahead and instruct Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdini? After all, you're not permitted to speak words of Torah in a bathhouse. Right? And so by telling him to use a cliche, he was instructing him in halacha. So how could he have done that? So the Gemara's answer was, Afrushe Isura Shaini. In order to go ahead and prevent one from sinning, that's different. You can't speak Torah in a bathhouse, but to prevent one from sinning, you can. So that's where we left off. So take a look, 2, 4, 6, 8, 9 lines up from the bottom. Teda, the Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Maise B'Talmidosh Rabbi Meir. There was an episode with the student of Rabbi Meir. Shenichnas Achrav LaBeis HaMerchatz. Now the student followed Rabbi Meir into the bathhouse. Ubikesh ladiach karka. So this is really, look how beautiful this is. He wanted to wash the floor for his Rebbe. So Rashi points out over here that he wanted to go, what he wanted to do is he wanted to drain the tub and wash the floor of the tub and then refill it with water. The Rabbi Meir should have a clean bathtub. Va'amarlo, Rabbi Meir said, in madichin, you can't go ahead and wash a floor on Shabbos. Lo such lo karka. Now, by the way, you can't wash a floor on Shabbos. We'll discuss this in greater depth. Is because of Bona, hashvaz gumos. Because remember, you're talking about dirt floors, which often were not level. And not that this necessarily was a dirt floor, but the gzera is because of dirt floors. That when washing it, you may come to go ahead and, it's not just washing, it's also sweeping. You may come to level, make the ground level. And that is a toldo, that's an offshoot of the malach of bona, of building. Because part of building is you have to level out the ground. So losuch lo karka, he wanted to put oil on the ground for his Rebbe, right? I just make it fragrant, make it nice. You can't do that on Shabbos. So what's happening over here? So what do you see? So Rebbe is going ahead and giving halachic instructions to his Talmud. But how can he do that? He can't learn Torah in the bathhouse. What do we see from here? Amma afrushemi isura shiny, hachanami afrushemi isura shiny. So what do you see from here? That although you're right, under normal circumstances, you can't teach Torah in the bathhouse, but to prevent someone from going ahead and violating an isur, that you can tell them. Again, you can't give them a whole shir on it, but you can tell them you can't do this. Ravina makes a very interesting observation. What do you see from here? That one who goes ahead and cooks in Chamei Tveria on Shabbos is Chayiv. Why? Because the episode with Rebbe is happening after the Gzeira, meaning after Gzeiras Merchatz. V'amrlei, Tol b'kli sheni, and yet he's still telling Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdini to what? To go ahead and heat up the oil in the kli sheni. So the Gemara says, "V'tein ini v'hamar avchista hamavashal b'chamei tveria b'shabbes potter." Aye, but we learned elsewhere that if one goes ahead and cooks in chamei tveria on Shabbos, you're potter. So the Gemara says, "My chayiv, you're right. What does it mean when I said before chayiv? My chayiv nami dekamer makas mardos. It means einachinami. You will not be chayiv mida oraisa for cooking with chamei tveria, but you will be chayiv midrabanon." Amar Abzera, on a chazise the Rabbi Avo, deshat ba'ambati. That was a very interesting case. Rabbi Zera says, I saw Rabbi Avo that he was swimming in the bathtub. Now remember, when they're talking about the bathtub in these bathhouses, obviously it's large. It's not like a bathtub that we have at home, but Pashtus is like a pool. A pool. So now listen to this. Rabbi Zera says, I saw Rabbi Avo swimming in the pool, swimming in the bathtub on Shabbos. Velo yedana, actually, shat literally means floating. Not swimming. I saw that he was floating. V'lo yedano i'akar i'lo akar. But I don't know if he lifted his feet or if he didn't lift his feet. Now what's happening over here? Take a look at Rashi for just a moment. The shot, Rashi says, tzaf, floating. Okay, so what is it? I don't know if he lifted his feet. Says Rashi, Raglov min ha'aretz. I don't know if he lifted his feet from the ground. Dikasavar kitnan ein shatin al pnei ha'mayim b'mashil peros b'nar godos. Rabbi said we will learn later on that you are not supposed to float in the water on Shabbos. Not supposed to float, which is ultimately the prohibition of swimming on Shabbos. You say, "Kol tzvi yitznan di'ika lemigzar shema ya'aseh chavis shal shayotin." Because what's the concern? The concern of swimming, floating on Shabbos, is that one may come to construct a flotation device. Kidarminon hasam avavambati lo. But in general, we assumed that halacha lemaisa, that prohibition does not apply to a bathtub. So here's what's interesting. So Rabbi Zeri says, I saw the avo that he was floating, but I don't know whether or not he lifted his feet, which is another way of saying what? I don't actually know if he was floating or not. Meaning, I don't know if he was standing, but he was just like laying down a little bit, or if he was actually floating in the water. So the Gemara says the following. Pshita de lo akar. It's obvious that he did not lift up his feet. Why? Disanya. Lo yashut adam bibrecha melea mayim ba'afilu omedes b'chaser. A person is not permitted to float in a pool filled with water, even if that pool is standing in a chaser. Now, what does this mean? So look at Rashi for just a moment. Lo yashut. The afagav di leka lemegzar aser, the afilu omedes bechotzer, the leka lemegzar shema yatis mayim beraglov chutzla arba amos. I'll say here's something very interesting. That halacha lemaisa. Another reason we'll see when we get into the swimming sugya that you're not supposed to swim on Shabbos is because there was a concern that if your pool right now the pool itself is rishus hayochid. Right, because if you think about it, because the pool normally has dimensions of dalet al dalet, and often has a depth of 10 tefachim. So what's the issue? If you start swimming around, let's say your pool is situated in a Rosh Sarabim, so you're swimming in your pool, which is Rosh Sayachit, and you kick. What's going to happen when you kick? It splashes water. What could happen? Water could go ahead and leave the pool and go outside of the pool, which essentially is what? Which essentially is an act of Hotzah, right? Because you are kicking the water, so to speak, from the pool out into the Rosh Sarabim. So the Gemara, leaving aside Rabbos, I Darish and the Miskat, leaving aside all of that, so whether it's going to be Daraisa, Diraba, leaving aside that, the point is the Gemara is saying you can't do that. Now what we do is, even now, what we say is, even if the pool is standing in the Chatzar, right, which means that let's say the pool itself is in a Rosh Sayachid, I said, therefore, splashing the water wouldn't make any kind of difference. You still can't swim. So Rabbos says to the Gemara, says, Lo kashya, ha de les le gidude, ha de is le gidude. Rabbos is very interesting. So the Gemara says, when do we say that there's a prohibition about swimming in the pool? That's when there is no gidude, literally is like a lip to the pool. It's got to be a better word than lip. Embankment. Okay, good. Meaning that the side of the pool is built up. Look at Rashi for just a moment. The less like you do day, she'in sfasa gavoa, where the lip of the pool, the edge of the pool is not taller, it's not higher. She'yihiyu ha'mayim amukim, eitzal sfasa kimo ve'emtsa. V'cheivan she'in amukim sham, kimati samuch l'sfasa, no eitz raglav bekarka, skip down actually a little bit to the velinira. Velinira, the isle gidu de shari, the low dami linar ella lekli, the less like you do the dami linar vasa. So it's a very interesting distinction. So the Gemara says like this, that the ikar takana of Chazal for not swimming was in, let's say, a body of water, like a lake. If the pool does not have, we'll use embankment, or have a lip, then halacha lemaisa it resembles a lake, right? Because again, the external part, the sides are flat, and therefore halacha lemaisa you can't, the prohibition against swimming in it applies. As opposed to, says Rashi, that if the pool itself has a lip or has an embankment, then that does not look like a regular body of water. Rashi says it more resembles a kli, it resembles a utensil, because it's shaped like a utensil, right? Then it has the lip on the side also. And therefore, halacha lemaisa, the rabbinic gezeira would not apply in it. So the Gemara is just pointing out over here that it could very well be that even if Rabbi Zeira was, so to speak, floating in this pool of water, it would not have posed a halachic problem, because the prohibition against swimming might not have applied to such a utensil to begin with. Okay, we'll get into the whole swimming sugya later on. V'amar Rabbi Zeira, Ana Chazi said Rabbi Avod, Sheniach Yodo Kinaget Ponav Shalmata. So Rabbi Zeira said the following. Now, once we got into that story, that Rabbi Zeira said that I saw Rabbi Avod floating in the pool on Shabbos, he brings up another story. I saw Rabbi Zeira put put his hand, Sheniach Yodo Kineged Panav Shalmata. Panav Shalmata is a euphemistic term for the Makomila, right? So I saw Rabbi Avo who put his hand opposite his Makom Mila. Now, what's going on over here? Look at Rashi. Sheniach Yodo Kishaya Rochets Mishum Snius. That's when he was washing, right? So apparently he observed him in the bathhouse, and he saw that he put his hand by the Makom Mila to cover himself, because it's Snius. Velo Yedane Inaga Ilo Naga. And I don't know if he touched the Makom Mila or didn't touch the Makom Mila, meaning was his hand directly on top of himself or was his hand a little bit removed but shielding it. So the Gemara says, it's obvious that he did not touch the Makom Mila. How do we know that? Disanya, Rabbi Eliezer says, Kala Ochez Ba'ama Umashtin Ki'ilu Mevi Mabul Li'ola. Whoever goes ahead and holds, the male member who holds the Makom Mila while he's urinating, it's as if he brings a marble to the world. Now, what does that mean? Look at Rashi for just a moment. Kilo mevi marble olam shemis chamim ubali de kari. There's an issue, said Chazal, with ultimately holding oneself while one urinates, and have a concern that one may arouse oneself, and as a result, one may come to a seminal emission. So the Gemara says, v'zeh kilkulo shel dor hamavul. This was the terrible sin of the generation of the flood. Motzim shichvas zera levatola. Again, essentially causing seminal emissions, not for the sake of procreation, or not within the context of normative marital relations. Dichsiv ki hishchis kol boser. Okay, so therefore the Gemara assumes that it must be obvious that Rabbi Zeira was not putting his hand directly on top of the Makom Mila, was not touching the Makom Mila, but simply was shielding it from external view. Amr Abaye, Sabaye says, not necessarily, Asuha ki boleshes. He made himself boleshes, Rashi says. Boleshes is chayalos gayas haba'il le'ir. So boleshes means a group of soldiers. A group of soldiers who come into the town. What does that mean? This man, boleshes shenichnasa le'ir. If you have a group of soldiers that come into a city, bishas shalom, if they come into the city at a time of peace, chavios psuchos asuros, Stumos mutaros. Open barrels of wine are asur. Closed barrels of wine are mutar. What does that mean? That if there are open barrels of wine, the assumption is that the soldiers partook of it. If a non-Jew touches wine, that becomes stam yinam or yayin esach, right? And a Jew is not permitted to drink it. But if halacha lemaisa, the barrels remained closed, then the wine is totally fine. Bishas milchama, however, at a time of war, then elu ve'elu mutaros. Both the open barrels and the closed barrels of wine are mutar. Why? Lefisha in pinay l'naseich. Because at a time of war, no one has time to deal with the wine, even the soldiers. So the Gemara says, Alvon, Alma, kevan debi asi lomenaski. So therefore, since the soldiers are literally afraid, and the soldiers are in the midst, are engaged of waging battle, lomenaski, they will not go ahead and do anything with this wine for idolatrous purposes. Hachinami, Kevan de Bois lo asi leherure. So too over here, because Rabbi Zeira was scared, even if he touched the Makom Mila, he was too preoccupied with his fear to potentially become aroused. So the Gemara says, 1 second, Vahaha, my biusasa. But what would Rabbi Zeira be afraid of, that would be his preoccupation and would not become aroused even from touching the Makom Mila? Biususa de Nara. He might have been afraid of the river. And it was in the case of, the Gemara clarifies the case a little bit, that it's not talking about a bathhouse, but rather it's talking about where he was bathing in a river. So because, again, I guess the river has a current, and because, again, a person has to be careful how they bathe in a river, that preoccupation with the care and concern with bathing with a river would prevent one from becoming aroused, even if one touches the Makom Mila. So the Gemara says, Ini, V'ha'ama Rabbi Abba Amarav Huna Amarav, Kolamaniach Yadav Kineget Panav Shalmata, but the Gemara says like this, Rabbi Abba, the name of Rafuna, the name of Rav, that whoever puts his hand in front of his Makom Mila, that also, let's say if a person is bathing, and a person dafka covers up their Makom Mila, it's as if what? It's as if they are negating the sanctity of the bris of Avraham Avinu. Meaning, what does it look like? It looks like you're hiding your bris mila. You're ashamed of your bris mila. So which one is it? Meaning, the Gemara says, Rabbi Avo is obviously covering himself out of a sense of tznius. The Gemara says, but to cover the Makom Mila could be negation of the bris mila. Look, Hashia, ha kinochis, ha kisolik. One is when you're walking towards the water, One is when you're coming back from the water. When you're walking towards the water, therefore no one sees you, no one sees your front. Therefore there's no need to cover up the makomila. And if you do so, the only reason you'd be doing so is because you're embarrassed at having a bris. As opposed to when you come out of the water, then what? Then there are people there. So then a person could cover themselves because of tznius. Ki had the Rava Shachi, Rabbi Zera Zokif. It's interesting, that's why Rava, when he would go ahead here, if you look at Rashi for just a moment, Rava would bend over. Right, that the way you do is that Rava, when he was going, let's say, going into the water, he would hunch over a little bit. So in that position, by definition, the makomila would be covered. Rabbi Zera, on the other hand, would stand straight to show that he was not in any way doing anything that would hide the mila. Rabbanon de Rav Ashi, the rabbis of the yeshiva Rav Ashi, took a middle position. Kikanoches zakfi. When they went to the water, they walked straight, because then there was no need to cover up the makomila. Kisalki, however, when they came out of the water, shachi, they walked in a little bit of a bent-over fashion. Again, tzabit sanua, Rabbi Zera, havakamishtamit mid Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Zera was avoiding Rabbi Yehuda. Why was Rabbi Zera avoiding Rabbi Yehuda? Deboy lemesik la'aradi Yisrael. Because ultimately, Rabbi Zera wanted to make aliyah, and Rabbi Yehuda was of the opinion, Dam Rabbi Yehuda kala ole mi bavel eretz Yisrael over ba'asei. Rabbi Yehuda was of the opinion that whoever goes ahead and leaves bavel to go to eretz Yisrael is in violation of a positive commandment. What's the positive commandment from Yirmiyahu? Bavelo yuvo v'shama yiyu. They will be taken to bavel, and there they must remain. So Rabbi Yehuda took the approach of Osai that halacha l'maisa, Jews were not permitted to leave bavel. He took the opinion that Jews were not permitted to leave bavel. And therefore, Rabbi Zera, who wanted to go on Aliyah, right, wanted to avoid Rabbi Yehuda, because what was he afraid of? He was concerned that if Rabbi Yehuda saw him, Rabbi Yehuda would prohibit him, would forbid him from going on Aliyah, and then Rabbi Zera would really be in a quandary as to what to do. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says, Mishtamit, Hayayarili Ra'oslo. Rabbi Zera did not want to be seen by Rabbi Yehuda. Mishum to have a boy, Rabbi Zera, the Mesik Laradi Yisrael. But Rabbi Yehuda lo svirle v'yarei penyigzer alav milelech. He was concerned Rabbi Yehuda was the greater Tamcha, was the Rav. And so he was concerned that Rabbi Yehuda is going to forbid me from going to Eretz Yisrael. So what did he do? And now I just want to point out, so Rashi says that the way Rabbi Zera understood that Pasuk of Bavel Yuval v'shama yiyu, they will be taken to Bavel and there they will remain, is not referring to the Jews, it's referring to the utensils of the Beis HaMikdash. That the Navi was forecasting the fact that when they would rebuild the second Beis HaMikdash, they would have to make new utensils, because the utensils that were taken would forever stay in Bavel. Okay, this was the Machlokes.
But interesting enough, he said this after the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash. So it's sort of
after.
Right, so it's a contradiction here, but he still held that until Mashiach comes.
Right. Why? Well, why is it a contradiction?
Well, because this pasuk is talking about between after the destruction.
Yeah, except we use a lot of the psukim from. Remember, we use a lot of the psukim from Yirmiyahu Hanavi for both destructions.
But then it says in Yirmiyahu that after Mashiach, after be rebuilt, it will all return.
Right, right. I hear. Good. So the Gemara says the following: Amar Ezel ve'eshma minei milsa ve'aisi ve'esek. So Rabbi Zera is like this. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to Eretz Yisrael. But on my way out, it's really beautiful. He wanted his Rebbe's Torah. So he says, on my way out, I'm going to overhear a little bit of Torah. I'm going to make myself invisible, so I'm not going to be seen this way. He can't forbid me from going. Right? Never ask a shaila that you don't really want the answer to. Right? So I'm going to make myself invisible, but I'm going to overhear a little bit of Torah. Okay? Azal ashkechei dekoi beibani. So he said that Rabbi Yehuda was in the bathhouse. The Ka'amrle the Shane, and Rabbi Huda said to his attendant, Haviuli Neser, Haviuli Masreik, Pishu Pumai. Okay, so he overheard Rabbi Huda saying to his attendant, bring me Neser. Neser is like a cleansing agent. So, like soap, right? So bring me Neser. Rashi says, Lochufes Roshi, right? Bring me my soap, bring my shampoo to wash my hair. Haviuli Masreik, bring me my comb. Pishu Pumaihu, open your mouths. The afiku havla, and breathe in the vapors. Breathe in the vapors. The ashtu mimayo de beibani, and drink of the bath waters. So Rabbi Zera overhears all of this, and he says, "Amr el male lo basi ela lishmo davar zeh, die." So Rabbi Zera says, if I would have just come to hear this, Dayenu, it would have been enough. Bishlama haviyu neser haviyu masreik. So what did he? So what did Rabbi Zera learn from all of these things? So when he heard Rabbi Yehuda say, give me my shampoo and give me my comb, what did he learn from that? Kamash malon, dvarim shalchol, mutar la'amram b'lashon kodesh. What did he learn from there? He learned from there the idea that you are permitted to go ahead and say mundane things in Hebrew. That lest you think that you can't speak Lashon HaKodesh in the bathhouse, it's not true, because Rabbi Yehuda asked for his shampoo and asked for his comb on Lashon HaKodesh. Pischu pamaychu va'afiku havla. So what does it mean when he said, open your mouth and breathe in the vapors? Nami kidi Shmuel, the Amr Shmuel, havla mafik, havla, literally, steam or vapors bring out the vapors. That by breathing in the vapors of the bathhouse, that causes perspiration. And perspiration was considered to be a healthy thing. Right? That a person is able to perspire. Ela ashasu mai debani mai ma'al yusa. What's the point of drinking the water of the bathhouse? The sanya achol velo shasa achilas odam. So the Gemara says that if a person goes ahead and eats and does not drink, achilas odam, literally he's eating his blood, which is another way of saying he has his blood on his hands. That's not healthy to eat without drinking. And this is the beginning of intestinal sickness. Similarly, if a person ate and did not walk Dalet Amos afterwards, his food decays within. So the Gemara felt it's important for movement after one eats. And this is the beginning of a bad odor. If one has to go to the bathroom and eats, Doma letanur shesikua agavi afro. That's comparable to like a stove that was heated on top of its ashes. Meaning, generally, in order to go ahead and heat a stove properly, you have to first clear out the old ash and then light the new fire source. If you eat while you have to go to the bathroom, the eating is not beneficial. Vizel tchilas reach zuama. And this is also the beginning of reach zuama. Rashi says, kol gufa mezuam bizel tamin. This is what causes constant perspiration. Rachatz bechamin velo shasamayim. If a person washed in warm water, hot water, but did not drink from them, domer letanur shesikomi bachutz. That's like a stove that was fired up on the outside. You lit the coals on the outside of the stove instead of the inside of the stove, which obviously prevents the stove from being effective. So velo iskumi bifnim. Rachatz b'mayim velo nishtatif betzonim. If one washed in hot water, but did not afterwards rinse off in cold water, domer lebarzal shech nisuhu la'ar. This is comparable to steel that was put in fire, but was not put in cold water afterwards. Meaning when they would forge metal, they would put it in fire, and then afterwards they would go ahead and put it in cold water in order to solidify the iron. Rochatz velo sach. If a person washed but did not anoint themselves with oil afterwards, that's like water that's poured on top of a barrel, which obviously does absolutely nothing. So the point of Yerabosa that Rabbi Zeira is saying is he learned all of these very important things just from overhearing the conversation of Rabbi Yehuda with his attendant in the bathhouse. Says the Mishnah, Moliar Hagorov Shosin Himenu Bishabis. If you have a Moliar, now we'll discuss what a Moliar is in just a moment, but if you have a Moliar that is Garov, whose coals have been taken out on Erev Shabbos, you're permitted to go ahead and use the water from it on Shabbos. Antichi, however, an Antichi, even though the coals are cleaned out, you may not use the water from it on Shabbos. What's the pshat? Says Rav, says the Gemara. Hechi dami moliar. What is a moliar? Or hechi dami moliar hagorof. What's the case of moliar that's cleaned out? No coals. Tana, mayim mibifnim, ugichale mibachutz. So we'll say, it must have been a moliar was some type of receptacle that essentially had like two containers. It was made up of two containers. The inner container, almost like, I guess like a Talmudic type of thermos, right? So it had, the inner container contained the water, and then there was like an outer sleeve that you put coals in. Now the issue over here, the Gemara is saying, is that you have to, before Shabbos, if you want to use, this is like an urn. If you want to use this urn on Shabbos, you have to clean out the coals first. Now, and then it's okay. Why? Because the Moliar, first of all, will still be able to maintain the heat of the water throughout Shabbos. Throughout Shabbos. Antichi, on the other hand, what's the Antichi? Rava Amar Bei Kiri, Rav Nachman Amar Bei Dude. So, Rava said Bei Kiri. Bei Kiri, if you look at Rashi, Bei Kiri is Chalal Yish Bekira, Eitzel Chalaleha, Shagi Chalimbo. There was another, like, chamber within the oven, next to the chamber in which they used to keep the coals in. Beidude, Rashi says, is yore gidola osala shtei shulayim v'nosnichol. So beidude is like a double pot, right? A double pot that you have a receptacle on top and another receptacle, a chamber on the bottom in which coals are kept. So Rabbi say the chayp over here with the antichi is you can't use it on Shabbos because even if you go out and you clean out the coals on Erev Shabbos, it's mosif hevel. It intensifies the heat, and it's considered to be hatmana, insulation with an item that generates additional heat, which we already saw yesterday and the day before, is asara on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, man da amar beidude, kol shekin bekiri. So the one who says that antichi is the beidude, is the double pot, all the more so would also go ahead and prohibit the use of the chamber within the oven. Uman damar bekiri, the one who says that it's the additional chamber within the oven, aval beidude lo, but would not prohibit the use of the double pot. Tanya kavase di Rav Nachman. So we rest that's part of Nachman. Antichi, afa pishe grufa ktuma. So if you have an antichi, even though it's grufa and ktuma, right, meaning either the coals are cleaned out or it's blanketed with dirt, ein shosin heimenu, you may not drink from it on Shabbos, mipnei shelechushta mechamamasa. Because the copper, right, the copper of the material of the actual antichi generates additional heat. And because it generates additional light, even after the coals are cleared out, it's considered to be hatmana, insulation, but davra mosif hevel. We're saying that intensifies heat, which is not permitted on Shabbos. Mishnah. Hamecham shepino lo yitin l'sochan sonin b'shil shiachumu. If you have a mecham, mecham literally is a pot or a kettle. So we'll translate these words right now, but then we'll go back and revisit them in the Gemara. So if you have a mecham, if you have a kettle that was, pinoho means removed. Removed. Now we'll discuss removed from what, but removed. Lo yitein l'sochan tzonin. One may not go ahead and put cold water into it. Bishvil shiachumu. In order that it will become heated up. Aval nosin hu l'socho. Aval nosin hu l'socho. O l'socha kos kadei lafshiron. But what can you do? If you go ahead and you pour, let's say, water from the mecham into a cup, you could then go ahead and pour other waters, right, into that cup as well, to heat up those waters. In other words, what is the Mishnah saying? That if you poured the water of the kettle into a kli sheni, you could then introduce cold water into that kli sheni in order to go ahead and heat up the cold water. Fine. Says the Gemara. My comer, what is this talking about? Meaning Rashi says specifically, my pino, or my lo yitin. So when we talk about that we're removing the kettle, that we're removing the pot, what's being removed? So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Adar bar Masna Halachi comer. Here's what it means to say, hamecham shepina mimenu mayim chamin. Oh, what are we talking about? If you have a kettle, and you remove the hot water from the kettle, let's say on Shabbos you removed all the hot water from the kettle. Lo yitein l'socho mayim mu'atin kedei shiachumu. You can't just put a little bit of cold water into that kettle in order to be warmed. Why, Rabosai? Because again, the kettle is hot. If you introduce a little bit of cold water into that kettle, what's going to happen? It's going to cook. And remember, the kettle ultimately is the kli rishon. Aval nosin l'socho mayim merubim kedei lahafshir. But what can you do? Suggests the Gemara. You could put in there a lot of cold water at once. Because they're putting in a lot of cold water at once, what does that ensure? Although you may take off the chill from the cold water, there's too much cold water to ultimately cook. Right? And therefore, Allah Khamai says, heating up the water a little bit is not problematic on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, but 1 second, v'halomit tzarev. But is there not a secondary issue, Rabbi Osai, which is forging a metal utensil? Now, what does that mean? So remember, like we just saw before, one of the ways that they would go ahead and complete the creation of metal utensils is you would forge it in the fire, and then afterwards you would rinse it, or you would immerse it with cold water. That solidifies the metal. So the Gemara says, if I have a hot mecham, a hot kettle, I pour out the hot water, and put in the cold water, even if I put in enough cold water, that the cold water is not going to become cooked, so there's no bishul issue, is there not a mitzaref, a forging issue on Shabbos? So Rashi says, kishaklim atochos cham, when a metal utensil is hot, v'nosin l'sochot tzonin, mechaski mesakli, we strengthen the utensil, we solidify the utensil, v'zoi gemar melachton, melechas hatzorfin, and this in fact is the end melacha of forgers. Shirasichas or ma'afafto, because ultimately fire makes the metal soft. the karo v'shaber, and actually could sometimes even break the utensil. V'amayi mitzarfin pavu. So remember, we'll say, don't think about our metal utensils. Our metal utensils are treated metal, right? But in raw metal utensils, the fire would actually make the utensil malleable, and therefore putting it in water would solidify. So how can you do this? So the Gemara says, Rabbi Shimon he. The Gemara says, no, because the Mishnah would reflect the view of Rabbi Shimon, the Amar, Davar Shein Miskavein Mutter. Ah, because Rabbi Shimon says, Rabbi Shimon says that in general, when you do a Davar Shein Miskavein, when you do a Malacha, for which you don't have intention, then what? Rabbi Shimon holds, your Pater. Your Pater. So therefore, the Gemara says, introducing the cold water into the kettle is not being done for the sake of forging. Why is it being done? For the sake of heating up the water a little bit. If it ends up in a secondary fashion forging the utensil, that's fine, because that's not my intention. Maskif la abaye. Abaye is 1 second. Midi mecham shepino mimenu mayin katoni? Mecham shepino katoni. So Abaye says, 1 second, I'm not sure about your interpretation of the Mishnah. Because the way the Gemara just explained the case right now is, what's the situation? Where you're emptying the kettle of the contents, right? You're emptying the kettle of its hot water, and now you want to introduce cold water into this. So Abaye says, the Mishnah doesn't say a kettle from which its water was emptied, or a kettle whose water was emptied. Rather, what does the Mishnah say? Hamecham shepino. If the kettle was removed, not the water from the kettle, but the kettle was removed. So what does that mean? So therefore Abaye says, I think the case is like this. Ela omra Abaye hachi kamar. Abaye says, here's what I think the case is. Hamecham shepino, if you have a utensil that was a kettle that was removed from the fire. The kettle itself was removed from the fire. V'yesh bo mayim chamin. And the kettle has hot water in it. Lo yitein l'socho mayim mu'atin b'shil shiachumu. You may not introduce cold water into that kettle in order to heat up the water. Aval, no sin l'socho mayim merubim kedei lahav shiran. But what can you do? You can go ahead and introduce a lot of cold water into that kettle in order to what? Take the chill off the water. As long as what? There's enough cold water that will ensure that what? That the water won't get cooked. Umecham, however, if you have a mecham shepino mimenu mayim, if you have a kettle that was emptied of its hot water, lo yitin l'socho mayim kol ikar, you should not put any water, any cold water into it. Why? Mipnei shemetzarif, because ultimately that would be forging the kli. V'Rav Yehuda, and the Mishnah reflects the view of Rav Yehuda, the Amar, Davar She'in Miskavein Oser. So Rav said, these are the two different readings of the Mishnah. So according to the first approach, where the case of the Mishnah is talking about emptying the contents of the kettle, and the Mishnah therefore says, while the kettle is still hot, don't just put in a little bit of cold water, because that's going to cook the water, but you can introduce a lot of cold water at once, which will only take off the chill of the water, and we're not worried about the fact that you're forging the utensil, because the Mishnah Paskin is like Rabbi Shimon, who holds Davar She'in Miskavein is mutter. Abaye says that's not the case. The case of the Mishnah is where you're taking the kettle off the flame, and what, now you want to introduce a little bit of cold water into it. The Mishnah says don't do that, because that will cook the water. But what can you do? You can introduce a great deal of cold water into the hot water, to the point that it would take the chill off the cold water, but would not cook it. And we do not, and if you emptied the kettle of all of its contents, we would not allow you to put cold water into it. Why? Because the Mishnah is friendly view of Rabbi Hudu holds Davar She'in Miskavein is aser. Amarav, lo shano ela lahafshir, aval tzarif aser. Rav says that we only allow, Rav says, elashir lahafshir, velo letzarif, kigon, shalom ilu kulo, v'rav mashalei pino kiravada. So mostly, interestingly enough, so Rav says that when we allow you to put water in the kettle, it's only enough water to take the chill off the water, but not enough water to forge the utensil. Now what does Rav say? Apparently, when they would forge the utensil with cold water, what they would do is they would allow the water to spill over the rim. So that you can't do on Shabbos, says the Gemara. So if you want to cool off the water, that's fine. You have to introduce enough water that the water won't get cooked, but you can't allow the water to overflow the rim. So the Gemara says, Ushmuel Amar, Shmuel says, Afilu letzarif nami mutter. Shmuel says, nah, it's okay. You could even forge the utensil. So the Gemara says, really? Letzarif lechatchila mishari? Is Shmuel actually saying that I could forge the utensil on Shabbos? Ela I itmar hachi itmar. Rather, here's what you have to say. Amar Rav, lo shanu ela shir lahaf shir, aval shir letzarif aser. Rav says, how much cold water are you permitted to go ahead and introduce into the kettle? Only enough water to take off the chill of the water. But you can't introduce so much water, cold water, into the kettle that would allow that the shir of forging. What's the shear of forging? That the water That the water overflows the sides. Ushmuel Amar Shmuel, on the other hand, says, Afilu shear litzarif mutter. Right? And Shmuel says that halacha lemaisa, even to go ahead and allow the water to overflow the sides is mutter. So the Gemara says lemeimra. The Shmuel Rabbi Shimon Svirale, is that to say that Shmuel actually holds like Rabbi Shimon? Now Rabbi said, what does that mean? Is that to say that Shmuel actually holds like Rabbi Shimon that davar she'ino miskaven is mutter? Vaha Amar Shmuel. Let's just read two more lines. Vamar Shmuel, but Shmuel said mechabim gacheles shalmateches birshus harabim. Shmuel says something very interesting. One is permitted to go ahead and, you know, we'll stop over here. Stop over here for today. So we end off halacha lemaisa with the statement of Shmuel. So Shmuel holds. So the Gemara is suggesting over here, based on the last statement, that Shmuel would hold that there's no problem putting into the kli the shear of tziruf, which would allow the cold water to overrun the sides of the kli. That by definition means that Shmuel holds that a davar sheino miskaven is mutter, right? That even though you're going to end up forging the kli, because that is not your intention, that would be mutter. So we begin tomorrow where the Gemara is going to challenge that assertion. Also, I just want to make one comment about this, which is that one thing you should know, and we'll see this later on, but I want to make sure that it gets confusing when we don't know what's halacha lemaisa, what's not halacha lemaisa. We never put anything into a kli rishon. Right? We try never to put anything into a utensil that was on the fire itself. See, even if, let's say, one wanted to warm up a little bit of cold water, not to make it yatzal, to take off the chill, we would, under most circumstances, except for extenuating circumstances, we would never introduce that cold water into a kli rishon, into the utensil that was directly on the fire. Instead, what we do is what the eighth of the Gemara was before, that you'd go ahead and pour a little bit of that hot water into a kli sheni, and then you could introduce the cold water in there. But under normal circumstances, we'll never put anything into a kli rishon, even once that kli rishon has been removed from the fire. All right, stop.